Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Mega Car. The Mega Car.
Ted, I always love it when we play this song on KISW. And we start getting a massive amounts of texts from the rockaholics. They're like, man, I got excited. I thought the Megacast was taking over the radio.
Yeah, it's completely ruined it for me, too. Oof, coming in hot.
That's how we like you.
Yeah, every time I hear it now, too, it reminds me of the start of the Megacast. I've almost forgotten that it's a rage song.
I know. Once you start singing, I'm like, oh, that's not me and Ted.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, I'm as easily fooled. I'm like, when's Steve and Ted going to start talking, man? Wait, I'm Steve, and there's no Ted. He's probably still asleep right now.
Yeah. Yeah, especially for your show, man. 8:30? That guy's barely getting up.
Yeah, I know. I always have to, like, I get excited. I want to text, like, my buddies, and I always have to think, well, what do they do for a living before I even think about texting them? Like, you know, like Jay and Munson and yourself are usually the guys I'm typically texting with, and I'm like, all right, Jay's working a regular 9-to-5 job now. Okay, I could send him a text at 7 in the morning. He should be up. That man's got to get ready. Munson, you know, he's a man who just beats to his own drum. He owns his own business. He can wake up whenever the hell he wants. He's got people working for him.
I wonder sometimes, have we built Munson into a character that he can't live up to?
So, like a necessary amount of pressure on him to
well,
be...
Well, I was talking to somebody and they were like, yeah, was that at Steve Miggs' birthday at the game? They're like, I never saw Munson. And I'm like, you never saw him? Like, he was standing next to me and Steve most of the night.
Right, he was crushing beers with us.
Yeah, and they were like, nah, I never, and I'm like, you saw my buddy just, like, the four of us were together, like, most of the night. Like,
yeah.
How did you not see him? And they were like, well, maybe I just built him into this, like giant beer-chugging just creature. It's like, well, he's still a normal dude.
Like, he just, like, shows up, crushes a beer, and slams it against his head.
Basically,
and
yeah.
And just urinates on the bar.
Yeah. Slapping children.
Well, Munson, it's time for you to step it up, man.
Yeah.
You got to live up to the hype.
I would, if I had advice for Munson, it would be this. Look at it.
That's the best video ever. Would you look at it? For those, well, for everybody outside of Ted, I, myself, Jay, and Munson, one time we all went to the baseball game and Jay and Munson were just, I mean, you were sober. You were in your middle of your, like, no, I'm not drinking phase.
Yeah.
But they were bombed.
Oh, like, yeah.
They were crushing beers. I drove. And so I was like, yeah, guys, whatever. Do it. And they would, they kept an 18-pack of Coors Light in the back of my Jeep. So while I was doing my work event at Pyramid, they'd just, you know, sneak off and just crush a few beers and come back. So by the time we went to the game, they're just hammered. And
yeah. And they're loud, like, gregarious guys as it is.
Yeah.
So from, like, it...
And they egg each other on very well.
But it's hard to...
like you and I are when we're wasted.
Yeah. But it's hard to tell, like, with those two guys, like, I know they're drunk, but it's hard to tell how wasted they are because they're outgoing guys in general.
Right.
So it's not like they're completely different when they're drunk.
But they're, for the entire game, this is, like, right at the height of all of us enjoying that video that you... just look up, just look at it, and it's a bit where a guy is just, like, trying to buy a car, but he just keeps saying, well, look at it, just look at it. And it's, by repetition, it's very funny. And so they're just saying that for the entire game. And it's like, it's funny, but you can tell it's annoying the living piss out of everybody else around us.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing. When they started it, like, it almost seemed like they yelled it out like it had something to do with baseball.
No.
So people were kind of paying attention. And then it was, like, funny. And then it was annoying, and then to their credit, they stuck through it so much that it got kind of funny again.
It did. Probably.
But they did it for legit 3 innings.
Yeah, it took until like about the 4th inning where people were like, okay, this is funny again.
Yeah.
For a minute there, people were like, are you serious? Are we going to enjoy this game this way? And it was in the Terrace Club, which is kind of like a nice little area.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people pay good money to sit in that area.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird stuff that night. I remember I got a ginger beer, and the lady was like, you understand there's no actual alcohol in it. Like, yeah, I know. That's why I ordered it.
Like, do you understand? You sell it. So, I mean, you should be aware that people are going to want to buy it.
Right?
Yeah, that lady was weird.
Yeah.
Like, she was, like, hell-bent on convincing you that you need to get a beer with alcohol in it.
Yeah, exactly. The only other funny time was playing golf this year with Mike from the men's room from our show. And we go to the beer cart, And like, I mean, I just look like a beer drinker. I am a beer drinker.
Right. But this guy, what are you talking about? Like, as if like that image is incorrect. Ted looks like a beer drinker, but he loves his wine.
I had a little vino last night, Steve.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Man, I'm so glad I did now because I could say that to you.
Thanks, man. Just way to shut me down, you jackknife.
So we pull up to like this one tee box, uh-huh. and there's a group, you know, leaving as they just teed off. And the guy's like, "Ah, this guy's ready for a beer." And I kind of like, "Yeah." And then like I go over to the beer cart, and I'm like,
"Yeah,
I'm like, yeah." And I'm like, "You know what? I'll just take a Gatorade." And the girl looks so defeated.
Yeah,
you know, because I think the guy even sits up like, "He'll want two." You know, me right. like, "Yeah, I got this."
She's already topped them open. You know, she's like, "Here you go." No. Oh, here's the Gatorade, sir.
Yeah, have a Gatorade.
Fine.
You live on the edge, sir.
Do you want that lime or that purple one?
Like, listen, bitch, I'm concentrating on shooting this 115. Get off my back.
I'm sure you said that to her.
No, not at all.
How's your week been, man?
Good.
Nice.
Yeah. Woke up this morning, kind of fired up for no good reason.
Got a good night's rest?
Yeah, I love the fall weather.
Yeah, you know what? I think yesterday was the first day where I finally got to enjoy the fact that it's dark earlier so I can actually get a good night's sleep. But I've been in a funk, and it seems like everybody's been in this funk.
Yeah.
And the only thing I can attribute it to is that the summer was so much longer than usual that quite possibly like my body is just like, no, I'm not ready for this. I've been enjoying this great weather for so long, this overcast, rainy weather. It's just not, it's not jiving yet.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. Yeah. I was there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you though. Yesterday I finally had a good night's sleep too. I went floating.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say it on the podcast.
Oh, good point, Steve. That's true.
You drink your vino over there. Ted, we do talk outside of the podcast, man.
Rarely.
That's
but it's cool
point.
When we do.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's nice. I had a good float though. I actually slept the entire time in for like the hour. I was up for a little bit. It got kind of weird for a half a second. I know you floated a bunch as well.
Yeah, I have.
Sometimes when you just like let your mind go, it does take you into some weird places while you're in an isolation tank.
Oh, 100%.
Like I was, you're going to think I'm weird, but all of a sudden I'm like lying in there and I started thinking, what would it be like if I was a tugboat? And then I started making tugboats. I went, ooh, like that.
All right.
I don't even know if that's a tugboat sound, but in my head it was. So then I'm like, I'm a tugboat. This is awesome. And then I fell asleep.
Yeah.
And then I woke up and I was like, I didn't even know where I was for a half a second. I'm like, where am I? But why? I feel so comfortable because you know how it is when you're floating in that water, your body has no pressure on it.
Nothing.
And so then it took me a half a second to realize I was in a float tank. And then when I opened it up, I couldn't stand. Like I was like,
Did the music wake you up or did you wake up on your own?
No, the music must have. Because I woke up and I hear it like very faintly and it's like, ding, 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 you know, like that new age type of music.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe it was because of the, yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, it was just super tired.
Well, that's part of it too. Like when you sleep in there, like your mind's still going crazy.
Yeah, it was weird. The weirdest one still for me though was the time where I was convinced that I now know what it's like to be dead.
I was in there once and was like foam getting poured into a coffee cup. Like my body, like I honestly was like foam and I felt like I was liquid.
Do you think we had
swirled around?
Okay, because I have weird thoughts like that too then. Like I was like, I don't feel my body. All I know is my brain is working. It's almost like as if I'm just a soul now. And this is what it would be like if you're dead. You're just kind of floating in nowhere. It's darkness, but yeah. You have your thoughts still because your thoughts will never shut off.
Well, do you ever get like that? Like that drip of sweat on your nose?
Oh, yes.
And it itches and stuff?
I had it yesterday.
Yeah, that's not real. When you're in there and you're so quiet and stuff and there's no other stimuli, like your body starts kind of playing tricks on you.
And just creates things?
Yeah. So like that's why I asked you and I knew you'd say yes because everybody thinks there's that drop of whatever and it just your nose itches because your body's just kind of playing tricks on you. I can't say for sure, but the way it's been told to me is like there's no moisture. Like everybody has that, thinks there's that same drip on their nose.
Yeah, because I dry my face like a mo before I get in that tank because I don't want to touch my face because of the salt water. And, and they always warn you of that. Don't touch your face. It's just going to drive you crazy then.
But that's why it itches.
God, man, damn you, brain.
Yep.
Yeah, because I felt that right before I fell asleep in the tank. And it's funny.
Very common stuff, Steve.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I'm glad I'm not alone. I'm also glad I'm not alone. I have like, because I have these weird thoughts, like similar to your coffee one. But my wife, who's floated with me a few times now, doesn't have those thoughts. And she thinks I'm insane for having these thoughts. All she has, she likes it because she gets it feels good on her body, makes her skin feel good. She enjoys that, but she doesn't like the alone with her own thoughts thing. She doesn't see why there's a benefit to that. And I'm wondering.
Really?
Yeah. She doesn't.
Then she probably needs it more than anybody.
That's right. She gets too antsy in that sense. And I was wondering if it's maybe because she's never done. You and I have enjoyed a few hallucinogenic drugs in our lifetime.
All right.
Do you think that that's
yes,
why?
Yes, we have. Like, all right, you say it, Steve.
Yeah. Do you think that's why we have these vivid thoughts? Like, are the people who have hallucinated before outside of this are able to tap into something in their brain that maybe people who don't can't?
I don't think it's that we're able to tap into our brain easier. Like, all that stuff's in there, right?
Yeah.
It's just because we've experimented with those things. I think it's just easier to let go and allow that to happen.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can't imagine your wife would ever really look at you and be like, I want to try a mushroom.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
The idea of losing that control to her probably is like,
no, she
scares
loves,
the crap out of her.
She loves control.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. She needs to stay in that tank, dog.
That's right. 2 hours.
Yeah.
Locking you in there.
That's part of it. Even when you look at a drug like LSD, like most people think like, oh, you do a hit of LSD and then like all this crazy stuff happens. But, and I think I've said this before, LSD is basically just simply the key to unlock. The chemicals are already in your brain. Most right. of that function's already happening. LSD and mushrooms, they basically just kind of unlock it and allowed to flood your brain with those thoughts that are in there.
That's
thus
yeah.
it happens. So it's not as much that the drug's having the effect on you. That's your brain. That's why people talk about good trips and bad trips and this and that. Like, it depends a lot on setting and who you are, which will determine what happens.
And that's, I remember seeing a documentary where you said it way better than I can about just it, almost like it lets open that dam of all these crazy and interesting things that are inside of your brain that somehow have been suppressed, that the drug will open that up for you.
Sure. And people that are, you know, a lot of us probably start, you know, with marijuana, but if you get into psychedelics or or floating or any, you know, and they're not together. There's a lot of people that float that would never do drugs.
Yeah. My wife being one of them.
But all that kind of stuff is, I don't want to phrase this, like, it's allowing your brain to go there. And like, a lot of people are just like for me, like, at the end of the day, especially, like, I want to get in the back of my brain, crawl around and see what's going on back there.
Most
people do not.
See, I find that to be the most fascinating thing about us being alive.
Yeah.
Is that the brain is such a powerful thing, and it's such an interesting thing to see how it works for some people and what it does to other people. Yeah. That's part of why ever since I tried mushrooms in college, that was the appeal to keep going back. The bad parts of that trip you would think would make me not want to do it again, but it was the moments where I was really able to get in touch with whatever's going on in my brain that made me go, I want to try that again. I want to try it again. Because it was like, it was kind of interesting to me. It was like fun to be able to get inside your own world.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's what I like about floating. I do love that aspect of, I'm a tugboat. I don't know why, but like,
right.
That was
so, like,
really
for you,
what was going on. Like,
right,
awesome.
For you, it's much easier to go in there, lay down, let go.
Yes.
Whereas like your wife and other people who have kind of that control are sitting in there going, is something going to happen? What's supposed to happen?
I'm bored.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to get bored as crap.
I've never been bored in one of those.
The first time I did it, I got a little bored.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just kind of bouncing around from wall to wall.
I did do that, too.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of our brain, we got to get it working right.
We got to get it functioning,
that's
Steve.
That's right. So, you
plus,
know,
a lot of this has to do with my TED Talk.
Oh, even better. All right. Yeah. Well, before we could do anything else, and this one's a shout out to the man by the name of Vince. He sent us a great link. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm sure you have. Anyone who's been listening to the Megacast knows that we're slightly obsessed with the dance move, the whip and the nay-nay.
Oh, yeah.
And these kids in the middle of a peewee football game.
Don't worry, by the way. I whipped a nay-nay on the playa.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
I'm proud of you.
I know.
I whipped a nay-nay with Lulu the other day.
Nice.
Yeah, just hanging out in the house. It's like, let's whip a nay-nay, Lulu.
And man,
she didn't get it, but I did.
I saw a video of Jameis Winston whipping a nay-nay. On point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because he's such a giant dude, but I was like, man, that looks really cool.
Well, and I still love that the New Day, when we went and saw Monday Night Raw, they did the whip and the nay-nay while they were in the ring.
Yeah.
Which was just hilarious. And then, I don't know, have you seen that video of the Pee-wee football team?
I've seen the, you know what? I keep seeing the link. I have not clicked on it.
It's so freaking cute, man. Both teams, the music starts playing. They're supposed to be setting up for the next set of downs, and they just break into the whip and the nay-nay.
But don't they get scored on?
something happens. Yeah, yeah. A play happens, and it doesn't matter. These kids are still whipping and nay-naying.
Yeah, let them have fun.
Yeah, so for Vince, he sent us the link. I figured, what better song to get 10 to? You know, to get the heart racing.
You already know.
The blood pumping.
Is.
And Ted, the brain.
Functioning.
Silento.
Let's get 10.
Silento.
All right.
To watch me whip.
Silento.
And nay-nay. Here
now
we go.
Do it for me. Now watch me whip.
Oh, yeah.
Now watch me nay nay.
Okay.
Now watch me whip. Watch me nay nay. Now watch me whip. Watch me nay nay.
Okay.
Now watch me whip. Watch me nay nay.
Can you do it?
Now watch me. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh,
okay.
Okay. Ooh, watch me. Watch me. Ooh, watch me.
Such a stupid song, man.
Watch me.
It's a kid.
All right.
I'm just saying, like, it just took me. Remember, Tanch told us that.
That's right.
Yeah, just a teenage kid that literally made a song about watching him dance.
And it's like the biggest song in the world.
Oh, it's massive.
I wonder how much money he's made off of just this song.
Watch me.
I don't know. Hopefully, he can turn it into something.
You know, when we take a break, I'll go. I'll do the what everybody does, that Google search for whoever net worth, and we'll find out what Silento's making.
I always do height and weight on a lot of people.
Height and weight.
Yeah.
Really.
I don't know why. We'll start talking about somebody like, how small is that guy? Like, you're talking about an actor.
Huh.
Yeah.
My wife loves doing the age thing. How old is that guy? I don't know. I mean, I think most of her Google searches are insert celebrity age.
How old?
Yeah. Ted, we already hit the timer, man. We're going to have to come back with TED Talks.
All right, all right.
All right, let's take a break so we stay on time. When we get back, we're going to do some TED Talks.
That sounded like a different
you
T word.
Call me on my.
I'll call you.
You used to, you used to.
When Ted and Steve are done.
Yeah.
Yeah. The mega cast will be back.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. Call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my love. And I know when that hotline blink. Only mean one thing. Ever since I left the city.
Hey, have you ruined your life betting on sports at FanDuke.com yet? It's easy. Just ask Jason from Detroit. His whole family packed up and left after he lost his entire paycheck in the first week betting on badminton on FanDuke.com. Mikey from California thought he knew all about women's gymnastics. Wrong! Now he owes some guy in China one of his actual kidneys. Every week, FanDuke.com separates over 5 million people from their kids' college money, guaranteed. And this week, if you use the promo code SUCKERBUTTHEAD, FanDuke will make it look like we gave you $200. Stevie from Phoenix loves synchronized swimming so much that he now lets men spit on him for money to pay off his debts at FanDuke.com. So what are you waiting for? Your life isn't going to ruin itself. Get in on your share of unending regret, sorrow, and shame at FanDuke.com. That's FanDuke.com.
These guys give me big O. The Megacast is back.
I had me a boy turn him into a man. I showed him all the things that he didn't understand. Whoa. Then I let him go. One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. Cause I'm the best baby that they never gotta keep. One,
do you know
two,
this song?
Three, they're gonna run back to
I do.
Me.
Do you know who this
come,
is?
But they never wanna leave.
Rob Schneider.
Dope!
Right?
Deuce Bigelow?
Yeah! And if you're a female, you should definitely check out the music video for that song. It's called X's, like E-X-S, and O's, O-H-S. It's just like a beefcake palooza, man. She's just like basically have taken what like rappers do for their videos.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this the girl that's a little bit thicker?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. She has all the like sexy dudes in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa, hey, Steve, it is what it is.
No, I go, bunch of beefcake palooza, and you're like, bunch of sexy dudes.
I respect that video. Like, good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Rob Schneider's daughter?
Rob Schneider's daughter. Isn't that awesome?
Rob, the Robinator. Rob-O-Rama.
You can do it!
We can just sit here and do Schneider stuff all day. I'm sure she never gets that.
Oh, I bet she loves doing interviews. How soon until she gets to the point where, it might have already happened, where the PR person has to pull aside whoever's interviewing and go, look, I know you're going to ask her about her dad. Can we just kind of chill a little bit on the number of questions?
But I feel like Rob Schneider is a bigger deal to me and you, like the 35-plus crowd.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if most people interviewing her would even
ask.
Point.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, if I was dating her, I'd be like, you're dating this massive pop star? Like, no. I'm dating Rob Schneider's daughter. Like, let's get this straight.
Yeah, I would high-five you more about that.
Yeah. And I almost feel bad saying the thicker girl. She's just not a tiny little whatever like the rest of them.
I got what you meant, though. I mean, yeah. She's just not your typical wafy-looking pop star.
Right, she's not Aunt Adrian Grande or whatever.
Ariana. Yeah, who's still super freaking hot, but yeah.
Yeah, I just can't stand her as a person.
Is it because she liked to lick donuts?
Well, hey, look, I love donuts. I think they should be eaten, not licked. But I've also seen stuff where like people have to carry her. I just think she is like the ultimate kind of pain in the ass pop princess.
You're probably right, yeah. Too successful, too quick. Didn't earn any kind of... I think there is something to be said about paying your dues a little bit. It almost makes you appreciate the success that you get.
Yeah, and I think some people it's just easier. Some people are just cooler about it, and some people go like, well, I'm the biggest thing in the world. I can do this, I can do that. I think she's probably just one of those people.
I just watched a documentary. I don't know. It was on Palladia, I think, and I didn't watch the whole thing, but I watched enough to just get this vibe that it was on Beyonce and her tour.
All right.
And it shows a lot of the behind-the-scenes energy that she puts into creating this live show. And she's super hands-on, and super critical, but not, bitchy critical, but, she's got a vision, and she wants it to get done. And the way she was handling everybody around her, she was, very, this is what I want. I don't want it to look cheesy. But it wasn't like she came off like a prima donna bitch. It was like, I walked away with a lot more respect for, and I always like Beyonce. I think
she's Beyonce.
Right.
She has that catalog of just record after record. Like, she can demand that kind of stuff.
She's Destiny's Child.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You know what I mean? And bringing members in, bringing them out. She's still there.
And still hands-on and making sure that everything is done to her liking, but not being a jerk about it. It's like, that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Adrian Grande don't have that kind of...
No!
Come on.
You need to go to the school of Beyonce.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn straight.
And Beyonce would eat a donut.
Yeah, she wouldn't just
probably
like
not
it.
Often. She obviously stays very fit, but I feel like given the option, she wouldn't just crap on the donut. She'd eat it.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
and it might go straight to her ass and her thighs, but I think we're all okay with that.
That'd be a strange deal, man. Like, what'd you do this weekend? Like, oh, me and Steve had donuts with Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Yeah, we all split one donut.
Right? Like we took a jet to New Orleans. We had to go to Cafe de Monde or whatever and get beignets. But we only got to split one. Well, me and Steve ate the rest.
I had one of those treats from New Orleans once.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah. They're the original, dude.
Yeah. So damn. It was just basically a powdered sugared donut.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my mom used to make kind of like a homemade donut version of a beignet.
Yeah.
Which was like, you know what? I should do this one day for us. You just take like crescent roll and you just cut off a little section of the crescent roll and then you just fry them in some oil and then you get a brown paper bag, fill it, not a ton, but just put powdered sugar in there. And then when they're hot, as soon as you take them out of the oil, you drop them in the bag, you shake them around and then boom.
In. Let's do this. Next time we hang out.
All right. You got to make the jam.
Okay. This is what Ted and I do.
Yeah, right.
You guys are like, hey, I wonder what the Megacast does on a weekend.
Oh,
kind of crazy parties. They must be at like some kind of insane behind the scenes VIP party, just bottles of the most expensive champagne being passed around. Mm-hmm. Some of that Andre.
Dude, I have Andre in my fridge right now.
There's nothing wrong with that, man.
Dude,
got me hooked on the Andre. It's the best $5 you'll ever spend.
Right, and I always had this code of keep a bottle of champagne in your house, right? Because you never know when a chick's going to want some.
Right.
Friday night,
I don't need to worry about that code, being married.
And she doesn't drink.
Right.
If she drank, I still think you should have a bottle of champagne in your house. Everybody should have a bottle of champagne. And look, it's Andre, man. It's $5. You don't have to have expensive champagne.
It's not going to waste.
But I was hanging out with a girl, and she was like, you have any champagne? I want a glass of champagne. And I was like, son of a bitch.
You didn't?
No. So I ran down and grabbed two bottles. I know. The Wait, one
you
time.
You have been forever been forever, the guy. Right? That, that has been your statement. And I've never once in all the years I've known you, and I've known you for, well, over 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
That's crazy. For 10 years, and we've been very close for those 10 years, you've never shared a time where it came through.
Where it worked.
Right.
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 That's what I'm saying, Steve. This was the chance, and I completely fumbled it. Right?
That's like being the guy that has a condom in your pocket all the time until the one time you're about to get laid and you forgot the wallet.
Yeah, Steve, I've been that guy.
I bet you have.
I had a condom in my wallet, I remember, once for like a year and a half. Actually, I think it was finally Thrill. I go, yeah, it's my lucky condom. And he's like,
it's
dude.
Not lucky.
Right? You've had it for 2 years. There's nothing lucky about that condom.
That condom's an albatross, man.
Yeah, if anything, it's holding me down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so finally, having a nightcap, and a girl goes, oh, I would like some champagne. Boom. Should be the perfect time to go over and pop the bottle. Oh. Like, oh, there's a corner store around the corner.
How long were you without that bottle of champagne in the fridge?
A week.
Oh.
Because the thing is, I generally have a cheap bottle in there.
Right.
Here's my problem.
Why did you polish it off and not think to replenish it?
Oh, here's what I'm going to say. I don't even drink the whole bottle. Generally, I'll just get up on a Sunday and I'll go, oh, you know what? Football's on. Or
yeah.
I'll be watching Arsenal at like 5 in the morning.
Do you mix it with some OJ?
Yeah. And okay. I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to have a mimosa.
That's cool.
Which, I don't know if you ever drank a bottle of champagne by yourself. You get about maybe halfway through and you go, all right.
Too much.
Like, I'm not, yeah, right. Like, mimosas are great, but they're kind of like ciders. You're only going to have like two.
Right. I'm like that with ciders. I have one. I go, this is going to be my drink for the rest of the night. And then when I'm finished with that glass, I go, I'll take like a stout or a porter.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much.
Yeah. I mean, I love the pumpkin beers. But again, there's a definite ceiling on how many pumpkin beers you're going to drink in a setting.
It's like the Not Your Dad's Root Beer.
Yeah.
Two is perfect. And
whoa,
you got
which Not Your Dad's Root Beer?
You haven't had that yet? The alcoholic root beer?
No.
Oh, dude.
I've seen it.
It's so good.
Is
like,
it?
It's good root beer. Like,
and it's got booze in it?
A lot of it's high alcohol content, too. After two of those, I had those when I was in Chicago. We were at Harry Carey's, and I saw it on the thing. I'm like, some company was paying for our dinners. I'm like, I'll get the Monster Dad's root beer. Had a glass of it, and I was like, this is amazing. Had another one, and I had a nice buzz going. Like, it's
all right.
It's good stuff.
I'm going tailgating this weekend. I'll bring some.
Definitely bring some, because if you like root beer, it's good just as root beer, even if it wasn't alcoholic. But the fact that it's alcoholic makes it even more awesome.
Huh. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is exciting stuff.
You know, we got to get our TED Talks.
All right. All right.
We keep let's see what time. How much time? Yeah, we've almost burned through this entire break talking about champagne wishes and caviar dreams.
TED Talks starring Tex Smith.
Steve alluded to it. hit it again, Steve. Can you hit it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
There we go.
TED Talks starring Tex Smith.
So Steve alluded to it earlier. He said he was in a bit of a funk. And I can't lie, folks. Your boy Ted, he was down. He was having a couple bad weeks.
Yeah.
Couldn't put my finger on it. And then, you know, I kept trying to think of ways, like, because everybody goes through funks. I don't care if you're broke or if you're rich. Like, there's always going to be something in between, you know, whatever your job is that's going to kind of get to you. And not saying just your job. I'm just saying every aspect of life is going to be ups and downs.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of fighting this for a couple weeks, going, man, you know, something's got to change, this and that. And the main point of the TED Talk today is just little steps. For me, it was something simple. I realized the last couple of weeks, I hadn't been getting up early and making my breakfast. So I just got back into the routine. Like, man, I got to get up. I got to cook my eggs. You know, got to get that going. You know, get your workout in, whatnot. But just honestly, for me, just the last few, just that simple, small step of like, all right, let me do this.
Yeah.
You know, so just, I think that's the point of the TED Talk this week. Is just, hey, man, you know, if you get a little funk, you know, it's not going to turn around on a dime. And there's not going to be some vision that just comes to you. You know, nothing's going to happen. No angel's
sure.
going to come out of the sky and want to hook up with you. You gotta just take small steps.
You're still in Burning Man right now?
So small steps that you can do yourself to kind of get you back on your regular path.
I'm quoting a guy who's quoting a guy, so I don't know who he's actually quoting, but I listen to that Tim Ferriss podcast from time to time. And he brought up something.
Dude, Tim Ferriss, that was the thing that I realized part of my energy was dying, as I wasn't getting my protein in with a half an hour waking up.
See, that's funny that you use Tim Ferriss for like the nutritional aspect, which he has lots of great tidbits of information
For our body.
A lot of the stuff that the cerebral stuff that he brings up, I think, is very interesting. And one of the things he brought up, and he learned it from somebody else, but when people are in the down in the dumps, or they just feel like they're losing a sense of order in their life, one of the first things you can do every day, and it's super easy, but it can do it does what you're saying. It's a little catalyst to maybe helping you get better over the course of time. Make your bed. When you make your bed, it's like, that's at least you know for sure you have order in your bedroom. Mm-hmm. That way, when you go home, your bed is made. There's no sense of chaos in the place that you call, that you lay your head at. And when I heard that, I was like, I already make my bed, you know, because, well, I leave before my wife, so she makes it. But you know, even when I...
Dope.
It's so nice. Yeah. But I 100% agree with that. It's nice to go home, and when you're ready to go to bed, you don't have to worry about, oh man, I got to go pick up the sheets off the ground, or I got to remake it so I'm comfortable. It's a simple little thing, but it does go a long way in at least starting your day right.
Yeah.
No different than what you're saying, eating the right food at the beginning of the day to start your day right.
And I don't know what it is, man, but when you're sleeping in your bed, I'm like, look, I won't lie. There's days I don't make it, and I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. And then you wake up.
Those are the same days that you forget to put that champagne in the fridge, and then look what happens, Ted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know what happens.
Yeah.
Nothing. I roll around when I sleep sometimes, and like when your head hits your mattress without the sheet, I don't know why. Like you wake up and just like, oh God, this is so gross. And it's like there's nothing wrong with the mattress, but it's just like it should be on a sheet.
Should be on a sheet.
I should also mention I don't sleep with pillows.
You don't sleep with any pillows?
No, sir.
Why? Have you tried?
Yeah.
And it's just not comfortable.
No. If I fall asleep, like to fall asleep, I need to take the pillow out from under my head. So, and then sometimes I'll wake up like kind of hugging it.
Yeah.
Or
humping it.
Or having it between my legs.
Sometimes you got to go find that lucky condom.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I just don't sleep with pillows.
Do you sleep on your side and use your arm as a pillow? Is that why?
No.
So are you lying on your back?
Yeah, on my back, or I'll lay on my side sometimes. Usually I roll to a side to go to sleep.
Interesting.
I sleep very oddly. Some people have called it like a gunshot. Like, they're like, well, because like I like to sleep on my side, but then for some reason I stick my head like really far back.
And yeah, I was wondering, how do you stay comfortable with your neck?
Oh, it looks terribly uncomfortable.
And it doesn't, like, you don't wake up with like a kink in your neck or anything?
No. And wow. I've always had a belly, you know, I used to be even much fatter, but
yeah.
I never really had sore or lower back issues. Knock on wood.
Right.
And that's like one of the only things I can attribute it to is sleeping without pillows.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know what's the strangest time? It's like if you hang out with a girl and you're getting to that point where like she's going to spend the night, you're actually going to hang out.
And she wants a pillow.
Yeah. And I'll have to be like, oh, wait, I have some. I'll put them on the bed. And I'm like, you don't sleep with pillows? Like, no.
That, yeah, I would just assume if you don't sleep with pillows, you must just use your arm as a pillow. But that's wild, dude.
No.
Learn something new about my man after 10 years of knowing you.
I can't believe you didn't know I was anti-pillow.
Yeah, you know, we never... Have we shared a bed together? We've shared a hotel room together.
We must have crashed in the same bed before,
I feel like we must have. I know it probably sounds weird to some people, but it doesn't feel weird at all to me. I've crashed in many beds with many men.
Oh, yeah. Many men. I mean, not like that video, not beefcakes.
No, not sexy men.
No.
Hockey guys.
Yeah, I have no issue with that, especially when you're saving money. Like, depends on the trip.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, with the donkey trip, I like having a separate room.
And you got me into that.
You've stepped up to that level.
I'm glad I did.
Yeah. But like, you know, like when I go on the tailgate trips or whatever, like me, Will, and a group of guys, like, look, I'm already flying across the country. Let's just share a room.
Yeah.
Or share a bed.
Well, that's how we did it when we went to San Francisco for the Terps game.
Yeah.
You know, we just got a... You know, two beds, but one room. But yeah, the one time I shared it a couple times with the donkeys when we go to Spokane, we would get multiple hotel rooms and then, you know, to a bed. But sometimes you'd get lucky. The first year I went, I got the bed to myself the first night. And I was like, this is awesome. Everyone else is bunking up together, but somehow I got the bed to myself. This is great. Second night, I'm like, I think I'm getting the bed to myself again. This is even better. So I go into bed. I wake up the next morning, and who's in bed next to me? Buck naked.
Munson.
And I was like, what? How did that happen? And then next to us is Slosh, and Slosh has puked all over the bed, and there's another guy in the bed with him. And it was just disaster, man.
Was that the year I was there?
No. I think that was the last year before you started coming.
Yeah. I just remember the first year I went over to your guy's room, and there was just bodies all over.
Yeah.
It's like, There's no way to sleep.
Oh, and that was a sketch hotel.
Oh.
Yeah.
That might have been one of the sketchier hotels. What did it cost? $39 a night?
Yes.
That was the other reason. Wire. I was like, why doesn't everybody have their own room? It's $40.
That was hands down, I'm not even saying one of the, that was the worst hotel I ever stayed at. To the point it was so nasty and so gross that I kept all my clothes on, put my hoodie on, and put the hood up so that none of my skin would touch anything in that hotel room.
Yeah. And my room was right in the parking lot, like on the first floor.
Right.
And with my door right there. And I remember just waking up and like checking the locks a couple times.
Yeah.
Plus, man, God, I got so wasted on the way there. Waking up at like 10 o'clock at night in that room in a sketchy hotel in Spokane. I was just like, where the hell am I?
We're not exaggerating when we say that we were staying in a hotel that the only other occupants in that hotel were drug dealers, drug users, and hookers. Yeah. I mean, it was full on happening. We saw it all going on.
Yeah, they have like the little continental breakfast, which was the saddest, grossest continental breakfast I've ever seen. And there was just a dude in the room sitting there with a chair facing the window outside with a backpack between his legs.
Just waiting.
Right, and it was obvious that he was transferring drugs.
Right.
Because he had that look, too. It was like, I don't want to say nerves or what.
He just had this look the leg shake going on.
Yeah, like there, you just didn't want to mess with the dude.
And I almost got, I almost thought the dude was going to pull a gun on me when I took the last batter for the waffle making machine. He's like looking at me like, you ass. And I'm like, sorry, we can cut it in half. All right, let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about this story just because it's so awesome.
We actually going to talk about a topic?
I know, right? We keep trying. Hey, man, it's just, you know, it's just how we do it here on the MegaCast.
And we're back.
Yeah.
We're getting through this fall funk.
We're in good spirits. We hope your energy is just as high as ours. And when we get back, there's an airline that's in trouble because the airline tried to hit on a porn star.
I don't blame them.
Oh, you definitely won't blame him when you see the picture of this girl. This story is great. When we get back, the MegaCast will return.
B-Tech Smith and Steve Meggs are podcasting Renegades. The MegaCast will be back. And I said, hey, hey, living like we're renegades.
This weekend, what if Steve Jobs?
The computer was a beautiful object.
For those of you who haven't seen the one from 2 years ago with Ashton Kutcher.
I'm trying to build an Apple, and they're taking it away from me.
And haven't seen the new Steve Jobs documentary, The Man and the Machine.
I saw my first computer when I was 12.
Or the other two documentaries about Steve Jobs, One Last Thing and The Lost Interview.
He made the iPod. He made the iPhone.
And that's awesome.
Then this Steve Jobs movie is definitely for you.
Could you repeat that?
Oh, it's being repeated. And you've been replaced by Seth Rogen.
It's a blatant ripoff.
Jobs. I mean, Steve Jobs. A totally different movie.
I'm gonna sue you for every cent.
Now showing.
I wish these guys would touch me and feel me. I am a dirty robot, after all. The MegaCast is back. I only call you when
it's hard. It's a good song.
My favorite artist by far right now.
The Weeknd?
Oh,
really?
Hands down. When you touch me, not feel me when I'm fucked up. I love this dude. And I'm jealous of his hair.
It's a good, I like that bass.
Yeah. Did you see him on SNL last week?
No.
Crushed it.
Really?
Oh, destroyed it.
What?
Brought out Nicki Minaj. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll have to look it up. I've got it on the DVR.
Dude, watch it.
I will.
Plus, Amy Schumer was pretty funny. Yeah, The Weeknd's my favorite guy right now.
I don't even know anything about The Weeknd other than that song, because it has Eminem on it. And I was like, oh, let me hear this song. And then I was like, oh, this is actually a really hot song.
Dude, you know the other one? I forget the name of it, but you know, I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
Oh, okay.
But I love it. That was like my Burning Man anthem.
I got to listen to this group on the way home.
Yeah. Last time I did a Super Fight League, I had to do like an extra announcement, and they're like, dude, go back down the ramp with the girls again. And I was like, all right. So I didn't have another intro, so they had a DJ there, and I was just like, can you play The Weeknd? And she was like, that song? And I was like, no, the other one. And she was like, yeah. So, like, I walked down the ramp with the Weeknd playing.
That's awesome.
Dude, it was so dope. Six ring card girls.
Oh, man. Dude, yeah. How great is that feeling?
Right. And then right before we walked down the ramp, I just kind of joking around. I was like, and the ring card girls are smoking hot, right?
Yeah. So I kinda, hope.
Right. So, like.
None of those thick girls like in those music videos with beefcakes, huh?
Yeah. So it's just me.
I'm kidding.
I don't care how cool you are. Like, you're going to kind of just, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to play it cool. And the one girl's like, I'm kind of surprised. You know, you work at a rock station, you picked this song. And I go, oh, it's my anthem at Burning Man. And like all six of them are like, you went to Burning Man? Boom. After that, it was all good. I didn't have to try to be cool anymore. It legitimized me.
You were cool.
I was cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude. Shout out to the Weeknd.
Shout out to the Weeknd. Going back to the float stuff, I don't know if you do this, but after I finish floating, I always like get excited about whatever the record or song or music that I'm going to listen to outside of that. Because like, I feel all like right. I know people are that haven't done it are probably going to be listening to this and be like, what kind of weird hippy dippy stuff are these guys talking about? Maybe at this point they've kind of.
Let's say, I think people.
At this point, the Burning Man episode alone, I think, makes people realize that we're kind of hippy dippies.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, when you think about it,
there's a word for it, man.
It's
not hippies. It's like, it's not cosmonaut, but it's something like that.
Astronauts?
No, it's a. Basically, like, you want to go experience stuff in the back of your head, so you're going to try different things, whether it's floating or psychedelic. Like,
gotcha.
You're on this journey.
We're explorers.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean,
trying to find a spirit molecule.
So I always like whether it be Alt-J has always been one of my favorites. After I get out of there, I like listening to them. It's kind of got some good sounds. 21 Pilots has been pretty cool. But this time I was like, I don't know what hit me. I'm like, I want to listen to the Smashing Pumpkins.
All right.
I put on the Pumpkins' very first record, Gish, and I forgot how awesome they were. Like, before, yeah. Like, they kind of became a joke. And I don't mean that. A parody of themselves. I feel like after the first two records, Billy Corgan almost, like, was making. It was like he was doing an impression of Billy Corgan when he was singing. It was, like, overly nasally. It was, like, everything about it just seemed too much. But for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, you sing a certain style. After a while, you get caught up in it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's kind of what that Billy Corgan did.
Yeah.
You know, but that first record, man, it sounded so good. All like the centuries. Yeah, I don't even know how to put it into words. Like, when I first walked out of there, every person walked by me, I was like already like in tune with what kind of attitude they were having.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny. Like, if anyone could get a peek in my brain as I'm walking out of the Float Seattle place on, like, I think it's on like 70th in the Green Lake area. Of course, I had to go, don't tell my wife, I had to go over to the PCC and get myself a slice of pizza because their pizza's awesome there.
Dude, I usually go over to the Green Lake Bar and Grill after floats.
Oh, that place is so good.
Yeah.
Sid and I went and ate there one time. That place is awesome.
Yeah, I love all those places.
And so I'm walking, eating my pizza, and I'm seeing, oh, that guy just looks like he's having a bad day. Like, you just see how he's walking. Like, that guy looks like he just got laid. Like, he's got a bounce in his step.
Oh, yeah.
That girl just looks like a bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just almost feel like you're able to tap into whatever attitude they're having just by the way they walk.
Sure.
It was fun. I was having a good time. So on the drive home, I'm listening to the Smashing Pumpkins, and man, just jamming out, man, having a blast.
Huh. All right. I never put that much thought into music after it.
Oh, dude. That's when the music sounds the best.
Huh. All right.
I don't know how. I want to do the float where you listen to music, but I feel like I might be wasting a float by doing that because it's nice to have the silence.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't gone that deep into it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Steve's surpassing me on the float stuff.
No, yeah, whatever. We got to still do this with Shawnee Mac. We've talked about it before. You, me, Shawnee, who owns the Float Seattle and Float Bellevue, and our buddy Joe, all go float for a night. Not all night. You know, an hour, and then go get dinner.
Yeah, definitely.
Because one time I did it with Sean, and had the most fun. A, it was just fun hanging out with him. But B, we had like the most fun conversation because of the float experience while we're eating a steak.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what Sean and I like to do.
Yeah.
I usually schedule mine for a little later in the night.
Yep.
And then we'll go float, and then we'll go over to the Green Lake Bar and Grill. Hey, have a pint. Have nice. A little bite to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. We went to Jack's.
Nice.
Ate like champions.
Yeah.
Some of that calamari and steak.
Jax is great.
Oh, so good. Did you watch the Democratic National Debates? I completely forgot about what we were going to talk about.
All right.
You know, if we have time, we'll talk about the debates. I got a couple funny pieces of audio.
All right.
But I want to talk about this story, and this involves, I don't know if you've ever heard of her, Nikita Bellucci. If you haven't, I have a picture. For those at home, just do a Google search, and it's spelled Bellucci.
All right. Looks like a porn star.
Yeah, she's a French adult actress.
I'm in.
She starred in films such as Orgy, the XXX Championship. hardcore gangbang, Assacre, Babysit My Ass, and other movies that I cannot say.
I'd babysit her ass.
Oh, yes.
She's kind of actually, nice. I don't know, that sounds kind of creepy.
Yeah, I'd watch over her ass.
I was just about to say, I'd watch that ass.
I'd house sit that ass.
Yeah. I'll dog set those puppies.
So she was not happy because she was trying to go from Transavia. She was taking Transavia Airlines, which I guess is like a subsidiary of Air France.
Is that from Transylvania?
That's what I thought, but I don't know if it is. She was going to Budapest, I guess, and her flight was delayed by that airline. Wasn't happy about it.
It all sounds a little vampire-ish, putting that out there.
Right, and I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to her letting her suck the blood.
If I got attacked by a vampire, I fed feel like it would look like a porn star like that.
Well, I think you'd hope it would look like that.
Yeah. Because, like, if it's Brad Pitt, I'm like, get away from me. Like, why are you kissing my neck, bro?
I feel like our luck would be like Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, man. I feel like that Lost Boys.
Oh, God, no, Steve, no.
Lost Boys era vampires. Back in the day when vampires weren't really sexy.
Yeah, they are now, though, dude.
Oh, yeah. It's like a fantasy for women.
Yeah.
So she was not happy because there was a delay.
That's so strange.
So she goes on Twitter, says, can I have some information about my flight? It's been deleted four times this morning. There's no information in Budapest. So seems like, you know, that's what people do these days.
You tweet at the airline.
You tweet at the airline. Typically, they got somebody. It seems like they have people working round the clock.
Yeah.
One time I tweeted at an airline as a joke, and I say, hey, my wife's cleaning your walls. Just, I think I deserve some airline wings for this because there was a couple boogers on the wall in the airplane, and she wet wiped it and cleaned it. And I was being just having fun. They jokingly wrote back. They go, okay, they're on their way for you.
Did they show up?
They DM'd me and said, hey, what's your address? We'll send you those.
Dope.
And they sent me wings. It was awesome.
Dude, we should go dress as pilots one year for Halloween.
Dude, you know that hockey tournament we're going to in Phoenix?
Yeah.
The theme is Top Gun. So all the jerseys are made to look like the uniforms that they wore in Top Gun. So Jay and I, Jay's trying to find us fighter pilot jumpsuits.
Dude, I know exactly where you can buy them.
Okay, because I think we're going to wear those at the party.
You should wear those, and then one night also you should go in sweatpants hiked up to your knees and like shirtless or tank tops and have volleyballs with you, like the volleyball scene.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah,
that's a little more subtle, like, all right, these guys like the movie.
We could do that in the course of the entire night.
Yeah.
For the first half of the night.
One of you just has to get the spin down, you know, with the volleyball on your finger.
I'm going to leave that to Jay. He's way more athletic than I am.
So, does that make you Goose?
I think I said I was going to be Iceman.
Oh.
And he's Maverick.
I mean, Jay does legit, like, as far as people I know, he's the closest to Tom Cruise.
He kind of looks like Tom Cruise.
Right. And yeah. like body size and stuff. That's like, he's got to be Mav.
Yeah.
I just assumed you'd be Goose. Like, nope, going Iceman.
Honestly, full disclosure, I've never seen the movie.
Steve!
Right!
You've never seen Top Gun?
No!
Holy crap.
So Jay said I'm Iceman. So I'm Iceman.
All right.
Who's Iceman? Is Iceman cool?
Val Kilmer. He's like the arch enemy of the movie.
Oh, no. I don't want to be the enemy.
It's all right, man. In the end, they become buddies.
Okay.
But Iceman has a bunch of great lines, too.
All right, because we're staying in the same room together. We got to be friends. I can't be mad at my roommate.
You know what? You guys should beef with each other like the first day and a half.
Get into a fight at the party.
And then Jay should leave. That's the whole thing. Jay has to leave just for like an hour. And then when he comes back, you guys got to have like the reunion. And you got to let him know that he can be your wingman anytime.
Is there a song that we need? Is that Danger Zone song?
Danger Zone. Just the soundtrack is phenomenal.
I got to buy the soundtrack. We got to bring the soundtrack with us.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, yeah. And just listen to it nonstop.
Oh, and the volleyball scene I'm describing is so homoerotic. It's amazing.
All right, I got to watch the movie before this.
Yeah, your wife will hate it. It's so dated, and it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
But just comedy reasons, you should watch it.
All right, I'm going to watch it before I leave in November.
Iceman does, by far, have the coolest lines, though.
All right, I got to learn the lines.
Yeah.
Do you know any of them?
Sure.
Okay.
You know, but that's the thing about you, Mav. You're dangerous. And then here's the key. For some reason, they're face-to-face. He tells him he's dangerous. Then he goes, and clicks his teeth at him.
Oh, this is going to be great. Yeah. This is going to be so awesome.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, I got you on the flight suits. I know exactly where you can get them. They're not cheap.
Oh. Yeah. How expensive are we talking?
Dude, I think the flight suits are legit like 120.
All right. Well, that's somewhat in my budget, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of those... it just gets bought and doesn't really, like, don't buy it on a card. Like, you gotta buy that bad boy cash.
Right.
And then one day you just have it all, and the wife, you know, how much was that? Ah!
I got it from the station. Someone sent it to us for free.
Yeah. Ted let me borrow it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, that wouldn't seem that odd. Like, Ted has a flight suit.
But why does it fit you perfectly?
Right.
Well, I don't know. Ted rolls up the pant legs.
Yeah, there's no chance. Trust me. They don't make flight suits for short, fat guys. You have a much better shot with your height of getting in the flight suit. All right. Sorry.
So, Nikita Bellucci, she tweets that at them, hoping to get some kind of a response, and she does. And this is great, dude. The airline, obviously, there's a person behind the airline, but the airline goes into full perv mode.
All right.
Must have checked out her movies at some point, or at least a picture to find. You know, probably clicked on her Twitter.
Click on her profile. It's not that hard.
And it's like, whoa, look at this girl. She's smoke show. Flight scheduled for 2:30. It's just that with you, and this is, I'm not joking, this is what they wrote her. It's just that with you, we prefer when it lasts longer. Have a good day. I remain available. Followed by a winky emoji.
Oh, I love the Euros. Just going for it.
Right?
That is amazing. What is, all right, what does she say?
She gets pissed off and goes off on the guy, I guess. I don't have that here. Oh, she writes, bunch of bastards. I will never fly. And remember, she is also the star of Babysit My Ass and Assacre. I will never fly with your rubbish company again.
Ooh, rubbish is tough in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're mad because you're missing your flight or whatever's going on. But I would think as a porn actress, I don't feel like he was being disrespectful. I think he was just being playful.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough line. But here's the thing. She's been in the airport and her flight's been delayed
and
four
times.
Salty. Right. So she's super pissed.
Yeah.
So at that point, like...
You got to offer her like some wings or something.
Well, at that point, it doesn't matter if she's a porn star or not. Like,
she's a human, man.
Well, no, I was going to say she's a woman. Well, Jesus, that sounds bad. Of course she's a human. But one thing I know is angry women do not want to be hit on.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. She's not human, she's a woman.
No, dude, not a human, a woman.
Well, they wrote her back and said, I'm sorry you were offended by this joke. I was just trying to lighten the mood. Again, I'm sorry. The plane will leave shortly.
I mean, I don't blame the guy, but...
You might want to at least have a... You gotta like
you gotta work up to that,
right?
You know what I mean.
Back in my single days, in the MySpace days, I thoroughly enjoyed fishing. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like reaching out. Like my favorite was whenever you knew it was a hot girl's birthday. I would always and man, I was on the prowl. And I apologize to any of our female listeners that might have been on the receiving end of these happy birthday messages that were solely because I was hoping it could eventually lead to a conversation that would also lead to some dirty talk that would then lead to you coming over.
Yeah.
And when it happened, it was like the greatest thing. But there was a science to it. There was an art to it. You know,
I think there's still today with Facebook.
Absolutely.
You know, the way certain people like pictures or not like them or, you know, I don't know. Same thing with, I mean, there's definitely subtle flirting that goes on those things.
I remember one, it was, I sent a girl, I'm like, hey, happy birthday. And she's like, oh my God, thank you. I didn't know you thought of me. You know, and then I was like, I said, oh, I hope you're going to have a great birthday tonight. What do you got planned? She's like, not much yet. I'm hoping I'm going to get drunk tonight. You know, something I'm like, and her outfit, like in her profile picture was like, she was wearing like a long shirt as a skirt.
All right.
And it was, and I'm
hot.
Like, yeah, I'm like, well, I was like, I'm sure if you wear that outfit in your profile picture, you'll have no problem getting free drinks. And, you know, her response is, oh my gosh, thank you. And I'm like, yeah, you look super hot. And then I'm like, hey, why don't you just come over to my place and we can drink and celebrate your birthday. And it happened. I mean, there was a few more steps. I just don't remember them, but it was awesome.
That sounds awesome.
Until then, this was back in those days where I was a little still bitter because I just got out of a relationship and I didn't want a girl to spend the night. And then she was like, well, I want to spend the night. And I'm like, no, you got to go. And she's like, I can't go. I'm drunk. And I'm like, you're fine. And then like as soon as that came out of my mouth, I'm like, that was the worst thing in the world to say. I will not be able to live with myself. I'm like, I'm kidding. It's totally fine. You can spend the night. But I was like, bummed. I'm like, damn it. I'm stuck here with this person.
I think I let too many people spend the night.
Yeah. It's the problem, man.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear it?
Yeah, man.
All right.
You got it, Iceman.
All right, I'm working on it, right? You accomplished nothing on this podcast.
Nothing.
Today.
Nothing.
No.
Well, hopefully, you know, it's entertaining.
Yeah, we looked at a porn star.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stop looking at porn stars, though. I'm trying to make a baby right now, and that's not good for me.
Yeah, we were talking about this off the cast. Porn is tough just because it's so readily available.
It's like a drug. You're right. You said off the cast, you're like, it's like a drug.
Yeah. Like, I got to consciously be like, don't.
Oh, these days, especially because, you know, my wife comes home and she's like, it's baby making time. Like, let's get working on this. Let's make it happen. And every night, which isn't, I'm not complaining, but every night, you know, she's in the mood. And so, like, one time I slipped and I fell into my addiction. And let's just say it was very difficult.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'm not getting any younger.
No. And then, yeah.
So glad no one in her family listens to this, man.
Not that you think.
Don't tell her, please.
Yeah, but I'm with you, man. If you watch porn early, it's not even that you got to maintain function. It's just, you just don't care as much. You're just like, I'm tired. I just want to go to sleep.
Right, right. It's like, well, I already took care of that. So that thrill is there.
Yeah.
It's been taken, not thrill from your show. That'd be weird. Thrill's here.
Thrill's here. Oh. I also think sometimes, man, I don't know if it's true or not, but you read different things that say, like, there's a whole generation of dudes that are having trouble having sex with an actual woman.
Yeah.
Because they look at so many images and so much graphic stuff that it's like, when you're with the regular chick, it's just not that exciting.
They've been desensitized.
Yeah.
Remember, I mean, when we were younger, porn was almost like, it was like a lot. It was like, I hate to compare it to McDonald's, but when I was a kid, like when we had McDonald's, it was a treat. Like it was, you didn't have it all the time. So when you did, it was the most amazing thing. Like, oh my gosh, I get to have some chicken McNuggets. This is the greatest day ever. That's how porn was. It was like, oh, I got my hands on a new porn. This is going to be awesome. But then you would like not enjoy it for however long, like a couple days or something like that. And it would still be exciting each time. Now it's like, I think you're right. Like, I think, I don't know how it is to be a younger dude where you have it on your phone all the time and you're just desensitized.
Yeah. And I think sometimes you can get stuck in just weird wormholes.
Yep.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Went down the babysitter route the other day, speaking of our adult film actress. But you know what? I found a thumbnail. All right. Then we got to go, I'm sure. But I found a thumbnail and it said like, you know, couple seduces babysitter.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
Right. So I start watching it and I'm like, all right, this is cool. Blah, blah, blah. She then calls them mom and dad. It wasn't a babysitter. It was their daughter.
Yeah. I still don't get that one.
What is going on?
It's constant too.
Every page has at least, like if there's 20 thumbnails on the page of like XNXX or X videos, at least 5 are incest related.
Right. And I know they're actors, but still, I can't watch it. Even the idea of the script is just ridiculous.
I'm okay with step-parents. I just can't. I mean, don't make it be real, like, mom and dad.
Yeah.
You know, at least say step-mom and step-dad. I don't know how that would work, but, you know, adopted parents that just adopted me yesterday. Something.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Yeah. That one freaks me out, too.
They got to stop that. Who do we need to contact?
That one I don't understand. And I never understand the having a bunch of dudes with your wife and you just sit there and watch.
Yeah, I can't watch those.
But that's a real thing.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things have to be inspired by something, you would think.
Ah.
Which is kind of troubling.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Well, there was one.
Let's not.
Because it's going to get down a dark and depressing road. And let's keep.
We got to do push-ups, Steve.
Yeah, we do. We got to get the brain functioning again. Get that heart racing and not in the adult video kind of way. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to the MegaCast.
Yeah, there you go. We got a lot done there.
Again, a stack of papers that we never got to. Follow us on Twitter at the MegaCast.
Now watch me whip.
Ready?
Now watch me nay-nay.
Oh, Ted's doing it.
Now watch me whip. Watch me nay-nay.
How do we get to a dance club and get to be in the center of the dance club doing this?
Now watch me whip.
I feel like that's our calling.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
We just got to get older and balder.
Watch me.
I'm on to that. Working hard at it as we speak.
Yeah.
All right, let's get 10.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Watch me. Watch me.
All right. Boom. There you go.